She is the fine writer for the Seattle Times. Keep up with all she does covering Washington State football and more online, seattletimes.com. Follow on Twitter. Use the handle at Stephanie Lowe. Let's spell it, S-T-F. I spelt it wrong myself. S-T-E-F-A-N-I-E-L-O-H. Stephanie, how are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
All right. Obviously, I need a moment to compose myself, but I'm better now. Before we get to football, Coach Leach talked about it, well documented, some issues for players, the local police, in particular Shalom Luani booked for assault. The county prosecutor, Dennis Tracy, this week said they won't prosecute. For those who missed the specifics, it was a crowded pizza place, understaffed. Stephanie, what allegedly happened, and is there a sense that maybe justice actually won out?
So what happened was that in summer, Shalom Luani, who's the Cougars' starting safety, he was at a pizza place waiting for his pizza. Pizza order took too long, and he was starting to get impatient. According to the police, the crowd started to get annoyed with his belligerence. There was some pushing, and then Luani goes outside. On the way out, he's shoved by one of the guys in the pizza place, and he shoves back, hitting the kid in the face. He goes outside, five guys follow him outside, and next thing you know, he has allegedly hit this other kid in the face and broken his nose. The police get called, and he was arrested for assault. So the problem there was that the initial story, the initial reports that we wrote based on what the police told reporters, did not quite depict what we later realized were the fuller details of the issue. Coach Leach got annoyed with that because he said early on that Luani's defense was that he got jumped by these kids outside and was acting in self-defense. And ultimately, the Whitman County prosecutor chose to not prosecute because he could not prove that Luani was not acting in self-defense because, from what I understand, a fight broke out outside the pizza place. And Luani also suffered some injuries. He was concussed and kind of shoved into a car. So it turned into sort of a more even fight than was originally depicted.
Interesting. You did an awesome job covering this. You know, too often I think emotion guides the narrative. But this case, which you wrote about Tuesday, has left its mark. We had a rarity, from what I understand, a prosecutor not following the recommendation of the local police, releasing information. So what's become of it? What have they decided might be a better way to handle high-profile cases moving forward?
Well, the police chief has said this week that this case prompted them to relook at some of their protocols. For one thing, I think they're going to take a hard look at the way they release information to the media, because in this case, the details that they provided to the media in the beginning, which were the only details that they had the day of the incident, did not turn out to fully, in a balanced way, depict what actually happened. And they never actually updated those details midway through to say, oh, you know, initially we told you guys that Shalom Luani hit this guy in the face, but actually he was also jumped and concussed. So I think they're going to look at how much information they released to the media beforehand, and the chief has told me that they want to do a better job of making sure that the picture they paint is a balanced picture, so that no one can accuse them of any sort of bias in any way.
Interesting. All right. Appreciate that. We continue with Stephanie Lowe, Seattle Times. I get a little carried away with the stat sheet, and we know Cougars equal air raid. And, you know, if you look at their running game, they were last in the country the last 3 years. Now, I saw so far this year they're actually ahead of 16 teams. Are they, in fact, trying to add a tad more balance, or, you know, it's still early and it's still about Falk and daring teams to stop their passing game?
I think what you're seeing is that Falk is a little bit of a different style quarterback than the guy they had before, Connor Halliday. He is a little bit less of a gunslinger, and he's more likely to read the defense and take what the defense gives him. And when people play the Cougs, they like to load up and try and stop the pass, which ultimately leaves some run boxes open for them. Falk is not beyond just checking down and letting his running backs and his receivers kind of take those smaller gains. And I think that's what you've seen the last couple of games. You know, he said that Idaho came out, they basically dared the Cougs to run, and that's what they did, because I think they do have what Mike Leach has said is the most talented trio of backs that he's ever had on the same team this year. You have a redshirt freshman, James Williams, who had a breakout game last week with 126 rushing yards. And you have the big bruising type back, Gerard Wicks, who's also been known to kind of break a couple tackles. And then Jamal Morrow is the guy who's been their game captain for the last probably season and a half. And he's really kind of a versatile, very balanced back that they use as an all-purpose kind of guy. So when you put them all together, they have some nice weapons at running back, and they're not going to hesitate to use them.
Now, after the Idaho game, I think you wrote a tumultuous week. Obviously, the Vandals are not a good team. So you did kind of an evaluation, Cougs at the quarter pole. Of course, as last year wound down, Falk was really playing out of his mind. But here in 2016, any similarities to how he started last year as to how he started this year? And, you know, how have you thought he played so far this season?
I actually think it's very similar. When you look at Falk, you know, people tend to forget, because of how well he finished off the year, people tend to forget that he started kind of slow early last season as well. And if you compare his stats from the first quarter of last season to the first quarter of this season, they're surprisingly similar. It took him a while to sort of like hit his stride in the offense and start stretching the field, and I think that's what we've seen this year too. He's taken a lot of short, intermediate throws, hasn't really, you know, kind of put it out in the air. I think we might see more of that going forward as he and his receivers start to hit their stride. I think the other thing the Cougs are missing is that counteracting weight to Gabe Marks. Gabe Marks is on the right side. Last year they had Dom Williams on the left, and, you know, between the two of them, it was hard to really kind of key on one receiver. And with Williams gone, he's on the San Diego Chargers practice squad. That has left the Cougs with sort of a void to fill on that side, and I think they're still trying to figure out how to do that.
Yeah, he actually, when you consider how many completions they had last year, he took 75 with him to the NFL, but a lot of talent came back. You mentioned, obviously, Marks. Who are some of the guys in the mix who maybe have struggled to maybe step up and become that dangerous number two or three?
Well, Tavares Martin has been the guy who took over Dom Williams' spot on the left. He's a little bit of a different type of receiver. I think I almost see him more closer in style to Marks than to Williams, who is that true deep threat, can get downfield and catch a fade. And so I think they're probably adapting to the style of play that Tavares Martin, who's very fast and very athletic, brings to the table. The other guy who really has emerged is Kyle Sweet. He's become a little bit of a do-it-all for the Cougs. He's caught some nice clutch passes on third downs, and also he's become their rugby punter. It's a new package that they've added this year.
I wanted to get one final thought, Stephanie Lowe, Seattle Times. So I caught the podcast, Five Burning Questions. One struck me as the Cougs prepare to take on an Oregon offense that gets Royce Freeman back. I'm hearing some issues about maybe the Washington State pass rush or depth on that front seven. How have they played so far? And maybe from a Washington State point of view, what should be the level of concern that they could apply enough pressure to kind of throw off Dakota Prukop and this duck passing attack?
I think the Cougs front seven has been fairly average so far this year. They too are missing the departure of some of their players who are now in the NFL. And if you look at their stats, I think there's 20 something tackles for loss that they had last year from players who are no longer on the team. So I think they're trying to find an identity in the front, and they're trying to find that breakout player who can sort of bookend with Hercules Mataafa, who's their best defensive end right now, and their best sack force, I guess. They're trying to figure that out, and I think they need to put some heat on the quarterback on the front in order to help out the guys in the back. Their secondary didn't do so well in the first game against Eastern Washington, but that was also because they were without Shalom Luwani because of that pizza parlor incident that we talked about earlier. So now that he's back, they've really stabilized and turned into a strength for the Cougars.
Hercules Mataafa, is that the correct pronunciation?
Yes.
I've never been so happy in all of my life. That's an awesome name. Stephanie, appreciate your time and insight as always. Catch her work, SeattleTimes.com. Again, I'll try and spell it right this time, S-T-E-F-A-N-I-E-L-O-H, at Stephanie Lowe on Twitter. Great to catch up with you again. You enjoy your weekend in the game, and we'll talk maybe when hoop season starts.
Thanks, Steve. Appreciate it.
All right, take it easy.